Good morning to all those out there. This is our Grace Life Adult Bible School class, and this is the third lesson in a series of the fear of the Lord, and today we're going to be looking at the fear of man. In our first lesson, we looked at Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We asked, when was the last time you heard someone say about someone, he was a God-fearing man? We were challenged, as we read our Bibles daily, to look and observe for the fear of the Lord and fear and where it's directed. And I noticed as I studied this throughout the year, the fear of the Lord is all throughout Scripture. We were encouraged to have a reverential awe of God, to develop a higher and higher view of God. We looked at when we have fears, we are not recognizing God as supreme, the Almighty. In Isaiah 6, 1 through 5, one of the scriptures there says, I am ruined, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Truly a picture of the fear of the Lord. We were reminded about our Christian basics. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Confess sin, Psalm 32:5. Study God's word, Psalm 119:14-15. Develop a thankful heart, Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. Have a song in your heart, Psalm 40, verse 3. These move us forward to have a higher view of God. And we were encouraged to a proper fear of God. A high view of God will hush your soul and calm your fears. We looked at letting our anxieties becoming our fears. In our second lesson, we looked more at our fears. We saw people tend to worry or fear first and then pray, instead of praying first. We saw people can become identified by their fears like their trademark. We talked about how society has made a commodity of fear to make money off of people's fears. We saw how fear of the Lord comes through salvation and our growth spiritually in understanding who God is and developing a higher and higher view of God, bowing before Him in confessing our sin and having a reverential awe of Him, being His bondslave with a humble heart. And we saw, do not fear is when we grow in our higher and higher view of God, we lay our fears at His feet and don't pick them up again. We trust in His greatness, mercy, grace, and truth that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Truly a peace that passes all understanding. And Jesus said in Luke 6, 27, who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And farther down, Jesus said in Scripture in John in 6:33, Jesus gave us encouragement, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So today we'll look at our fear of man. So let's look at some scripture to get a right view of that fear. Our first scripture is Matthew 10:28, which says, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Psalm 56, 1 through 4 says, be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. And when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? And let's look in our Bibles at Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, which says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed be the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." What a blessing God's word is. Another verse, Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10. "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." The fear of man can lead us away from God, taking us away from a high view of God. Satan would have us to fear man instead of God. As servants and slaves to the King of Kings, when we when we serve in our ministry, whatever that is, be it teaching, helps, giving, hospitality, or whatever gift of serving you're blessed with, do we daily remember that we are doing it as unto the Lord or unto men? It's easy to lose our focus, as Satan would have it, but only by staying in the Word of God and our prayer to Him keeps us focused on Him. Do all things as unto the Lord. We're to give God glory in all we do. Ephesians 6, 6 and 7. "Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men." Ephesians 6, 6 and 7. Whatever we do, do we strive for the best to give glory to God, or are we doing the best we do to be seen by men? Whether you're sawing a board, making a dress, tightening a screw, making dinner, balancing your checkbook, making a bouquet, welding a trailer hitch, teaching your children, unplugging the toilet, preparing a lesson, keeping in touch with friends and family, and many, many more daily and weekly tasks. Do we do them as unto the Lord or as unto men? Having the right focus on the fear of the Lord will keep us from fearing man. Let's look at a scripture for a look at fearing man. Let's look at Luke 18, 10 through 13. Luke 18, 10 through 13. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" So in the Pharisee, we see a picture that he feared man more than he feared God. It was important to him what he did before other men that really mattered. The tax collector, though, the lowest of society, feared God and said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." Truly, he is a picture of a contrite heart. Let's look at 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 24. 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 24. Then Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord has sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman and child and infant and ox and sheep and cattle and donkey." Then Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telman, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, "Go and depart. Go down from among the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the sons of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as you go to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings, the lambs and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly. But everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands." And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. And it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded on the way down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord, I have carried out the command of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak." And Samuel said, "Is it not true that though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord and rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord?'" Then Saul said to Samuel, "I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep, oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice." Saul said in verse 24, because I feared the people. He needed to obey God and his instructions. He, as king, was to lead the people to follow God and to obey. But because he feared the people, God rejected him from being king. Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." Let's look at a story in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 17 through 29. Mark chapter 6, 17 through 29. For Herod himself had sent and had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death and could not do so. For Herod was afraid of John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was very perplexed, but he used to enjoy listening to him. And a strategic day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his lords and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias herself came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask for me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." And he swore to her, "Whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you up to half my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And immediately she came in a hurry to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And although the king was very sorry, yet because of his oath and because of his dinner guest, he was unwilling to refuse her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded him to bring back his head. And he went and had him beheaded in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard about this, they came and took away his body and laid it in a tomb. So we see just such a tragic story. Herod, in verse 20, was afraid of John, knowing he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe and that he enjoyed listening to him. But such a tragic story. In verse 26, we see Herod feared man more, his oaths and his dinner guests. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded him to bring back John's head. A tragic result to the fear of man. Once again, Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare." Let's look at some reasons why we fear man. One is we don't recognize God as Almighty. We fear people because they can threaten us, oppress us, or even attack us. We fear man because they can ridicule or reject or despise us. Four, we fear man because they can mock and humiliate and expose us. Or fifth, we'll look bad and not make a good impression. But a common thread to all of these reasons is we see them all as bigger than God. We do not have a high view of God when we fear man. Let's look at some more examples in Scripture. Let's look at Galatians 2, 11 through 14. Galatians 2, 11, 14. This is a section where Paul calls Peter out on this fear, 11 through 14. "And when Cephas, Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw himself and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, 'If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like the Jews?'" Did you notice there that fearing the party of the circumcision, he was fearing man more than he was fearing God. Let's look at another section. And as I read this section in Matthew 21, 23 to 27, Matthew 21, 23 through 27. Look at their fear of man, their token fear of God, and not willing to take a stand, and notice that they had to be men pleasers. Matthew 21, 23 through 27. This is where Christ's authority was challenged. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from what source, from heaven or from men?" And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet." And they, answering Jesus, said, "We do not know." He also said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So you see an amazing thing. They're just trying to be men pleasers, and it's just really a weird situation that you cannot serve. You can only serve one master, either God or man. So let's look at another section, John 7, 11 through 13. John 7, 11 through 13, which said, "So the Jews were seeking him at the feast and were saying, 'Where is he?' And there was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him. And some were saying that he is a good man, and others were saying, 'No, on the contrary, he leads the people astray.' Yet no one was speaking openly for fear of the Jews." The fear of man to be a man pleaser. Isaiah 51, verse 7. Isaiah 51, verse 7 says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings." Let's look at the fear of man at Christ's judgment. Let's look at John 19, 7 through 16. John 19, 7 through 16. "The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God.' Therefore Pilate, when he heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and he entered in the praetorium and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, 'Do you not know that I have authority to release you, and I have authority to crucify you?' And Jesus answered, 'You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. And for this reason, he who delivered me to you has a greater sin.' As a result of this, Pilate made effort to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar, and everyone who makes himself out to be king opposes Caesar.' Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew called Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.' And they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' Pilate said to them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' And the chief priests answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.'" So we see a picture of peer pressure here and the fear of man. It has been said, you can have a moment of courage or a lifetime of regret. A moment of courage or a lifetime of regret. Let's look at Romans 8, 35 through 39, a familiar section of Scripture. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And let's take a look at Amos 8, 11 and 12. And here's an end result when we continually fear man. Amos 8, 11 and 12. Amos 8, 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing of the words of the Lord. And people will stagger from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they will go to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. That's a tragic result of continually fearing man. We have such an opportunity to be a shining light in our world today, and especially right now, to make much that God Almighty is in control, and to speak encouraging words, to speak words of life and assurance in Christ Jesus. I encourage you all to be in prayer, to be in the Word of God, and be in contact with one another by phone, text, or email, and to fellowship. It's just really important to communicate with one another and to work on developing a high view of God. That song we had at the start, whatever my God ordains is right, his holy will abideth, I will be still whatever he does and follow where he guideth. He is my God, though dark my road, he holds me that I shall not fall. And so to him I leave it all, and so to him I leave it all. Remember, work on having a high view of God. And a verse from Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time in your word, and our fellowship and meeting is so different, but truly you are among us. Help us not to fear, but to love you, have a high view of you, develop a deeper and deeper love for you each day. Help us to just delight in your word and bathe our soul in your word, that we might calm our soul and hush our fears, and just to daily delight in you. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer for what you did on the cross for us, and we just thank you and praise you for the day. Amen.